In your Bibles to the book of Psalms, and we'll continue looking tonight at another psalm of encouragement. Psalm 22 is our text. Now, when we start reading this psalm, you might think, ooh, that doesn't sound very encouraging to me. But I promise you, as we look at this psalm together this evening, you will have good reason to be encouraged, because this is a psalm about our Lord Jesus. And the first half of this psalm, down through verse 21, focuses on Jesus as the suffering servant, the one who humbled himself. The one who was willing to undergo great humiliation. And then the last half of this psalm, beginning in verse 22, focuses on the exaltation of Jesus. As we read in Peter, the first part, his sufferings, and the last part, the glories that he has entered into. And so, hear now the reading of God's very word. Psalm 22. To the choir master, according to the Doe of the Dawn, a psalm of David. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breast. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him. All you offspring of Israel, for he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. He has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you, for kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it. Well, thus ends the reading of God's very word. Let's pray. Father, we are just amazed when we read this psalm and we see your glory, and we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would come by your blessed Holy Spirit and show us even more of your beauty from this psalm, and that you would capture our hearts afresh. Lord, those of us in this place, everyone professes to love you. And Lord, we pray that that would indeed be genuine and true and real. And we ask, Father, that if there are any listening who are apart from you, Lord, who do not trust in you as their Redeemer, that they would see who you really are. Lord, that you would open all of our eyes, and that we would have our hearts leaping for joy because of your beauty, that you were willing to suffer and then enter into your glory. And that, Lord, you would proclaim your sweet, powerful gospel to our hearts anew this night. And we make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. The glories that followed the suffering. Now, before we look at this psalm in detail, I want you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. And we learn something about the Lord Jesus in these first few verses of Hebrews chapter 12 that I think will help us better appreciate Psalm 22. First of all, in verse 1 of Hebrews 12, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." Now, I want you to notice in verse 2 that we have a description of who our Lord Jesus is. And it takes us back to this period of time when we will begin looking at the beginning of Psalm 22 of the suffering or humiliation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that as he lived in this fallen world, being willing to suffer all of the difficulties, seeing loved ones get sick, loved ones die, struggling with sin, being tempted with sin, just living life in all of its difficulties and complexities, in a fallen world, yet he was without sin. But I want you to notice that he was the one who always understood that the glories would follow his suffering. That for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And the cross was the culmination of the sufferings of Jesus. That was the culmination. It began when he took on human flesh in Mary's womb. That's when his humiliation began. He humbled himself by becoming a man. It's hard for us to imagine willingly taking on human flesh, and he spent 9 months in the womb. And then he was born, and he cried, and he hungered, and he had to have his diaper changed. What an amazing Savior. And as he grew up in a home, he had brothers and sisters, and he was the spotless, pure Lamb of God who had never sinned, ever, in his entire life. And he had brothers and sisters that weren't sinless. Can you imagine how difficult that would have been for the Lord Jesus to keep his cool, to not get angry, to not retaliate when his brother or a sister said something that wasn't true about him? All through his life. And then in his public ministry, the Lord Jesus was despised and rejected, spit upon, and of course the culmination of his suffering was he was willing to die as a common criminal. The death penalty had been pronounced against him by the Roman representative of the emperor himself. The Sanhedrin could decide cases, and they could render punishments up to the death penalty. But Rome had reserved. Only Rome could execute people. And so that's why the Sanhedrin came to Pilate with this urgent request. We are asking you to put this man to death. He deserves to die. And the Lord Jesus said not a word. The Lord Jesus endured the suffering and allowed the mocking and the spitting and the flogging, and allowed the soldiers to nail him to a cross. And it was the joy that was set before him that he kept in mind during all of this suffering. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. If we had time, we could go over to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. And I would remind you that when the Lord Jesus rose from the dead on that day, he just started walking with a couple of his disciples. And as he did so, he began to open up the scriptures to these men. And I want you to just read with me the summary. Look in Luke 24, verse 25. He said to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And so here again we see Jesus giving this summary to his disciples of what do we learn about the Christ? Well, he suffered and then he entered into his glory. Look over in verse 44. After he disappeared, they ran back, told all the rest of the disciples, "It's true. Jesus has been raised from the dead. We've seen him with our own eyes." And then Jesus came and stood in the midst of all of them. In verse 44, then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and that on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. This is the key, Jesus says, to understanding the whole of the Old Testament scriptures. And of course, the New Testament, it's very clear to us that it is all about the Lord Jesus as well. And with these things in mind now, this was the joy that Jesus had set before him, that he was willing to endure such sufferings. Well, let's go back now to Psalm 22 and let's look. First of all, in verse 1 and following, we see some of the details of the culmination of his suffering. I love what Charles Spurgeon said about this psalm. He said, yes, it is a psalm of David. But he said, those who begin to see what it's really all about quickly say, I don't care about David anymore. I just want to see more of the beauty of Jesus, more of his glory. And the very first verse grabs hold of us and reminds us that while David did suffer much, sadly, much of David's suffering in his life was because of his own particular sin. Not so with his greater son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the very first verse is a striking verse because it takes us to the culmination of Jesus' suffering when he was dying upon the cross. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? That is recorded for us over in the Gospel of Matthew, for example, chapter 27. And you can turn there with me. In verse 45 of Matthew 27, now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, lema sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus uttered these words. And what was going on? He was drinking the cup of wrath. You remember in the garden the night before, he had prayed, Father, if it's possible, let this cup be taken from me, yet not my will but thine be done. And he prayed that three times. And he was in such agony, Dr. Luke records for us that he was sweating drops of blood. And physically, when people are in such agony or distress, their capillaries can literally begin to burst. And literally, blood will be mixed with their sweat. Well, that's what was happening to our Lord Jesus. He was in such agony just thinking about drinking the cup that he was sweating drops of blood. And now Psalm 22 takes us to the culmination of his sufferings, where he is in agony crying that the Father, for the first time since all eternity, has turned his back on his own son. You say, well, how can that be an encouragement? Because, Henry, I remember you said this was an encouraging psalm. Well, Jesus is dying as our substitute. And because Jesus was willing to be forsaken by his Father as our substitute, if we are trusting in this Savior, we are not. In our call to worship this evening, we read in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 37, "All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me I will never," what? Cast out. I'll never throw that one away. Oh, the wonder of the gospel, that Jesus was willing to take our sin upon himself. And it was real. The Father was pouring out his wrath upon his own Son, not because his Son had done anything wrong. He was the spotless, pure Lamb of God, but as our substitute. He was taking our punishment upon himself. Now, the first hymn that we sang tonight, "Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted." Now, I want you to turn back with me in your hymnal to 257. "Stricken, smitten, and afflicted, see him dying on the tree. 'Tis the Christ by man rejected, yes, my soul, 'tis he, 'tis he. 'Tis the long-expected prophet, David's son, yet David's Lord. By his Son God now has spoken, 'tis the true and faithful word. Tell me, ye who hear him groaning, was there ever grief like his? Friends through fear his cause disowning." You remember Peter denying him? "I've never known the man." Yeah, you were with him. And Peter curses, "I've never known the man." And they come again, "Yes, we saw you with him." And this time, he takes an oath calling God to witness, "I have never seen this man." And then the Gospels record for us that Jesus looked across the courtyard at Peter. And Peter, oh, his heart just broke. "I've denied the Lord Jesus." And he ran out into the night, weeping. But Jesus didn't leave him there, did he? Jesus told Peter, "I have prayed for you that your faith fail not." Friends through fear his cause disowning, foes insulting his distress. "If you're really the Christ, come on down from the cross. You saved others, save yourself if you're really the Son of God." Many hands were raised to wound him. None would interpose to save. But the deepest stroke that pierced him was the stroke that justice gave. The thing that was the most painful was not the physical agony of the cross. And if you have never read the American Medical Association article about what physically happens in a crucifixion, I would encourage you parents to go online, get a copy, and in age-appropriate fashion, have your children read that description when it would be a proper time for them to read such a description. Spine-tingling, agony. Every time a man would have to breathe, every breath, he would have to put his full weight on his hands and his feet, on those nails, to lift himself up so that his diaphragm could relax just to take another breath. The agony of the cross was unbelievable, but the thing that was the most agonizing was the Father was pouring out his justice upon his sinless Son in our place. Oh, the wonder of the gospel. Ye who think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great, here may view its nature rightly. Here its guilt, may estimate. You know, it's easy for us to not think of our sin like we really ought to. We know sin's bad, but is it really, really, really bad? Does it really deserve God's eternal wrath and judgment? And if we would ever question what sin really deserves, if God would ever make an exception to punishing sin, it would have been in His own Son. But the Lamb of God, who had never sinned, becomes our sin bearer. Mark the sacrifice appointed. See who bears the awful load. 'Tis the Word, the Lord's anointed, Son of Man and Son of God. And so Psalm 22 describes for us in this first section the suffering of our Lord Jesus, that He was willing to be separated from the Father so that we would not have to live estranged from the holy, holy, holy God. That because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, because He was willing to die and to take our hell upon Himself on the cross, the Father now, the second we believe in His Son, this was the plan of God Almighty from eternity past, that God would send His Son to rescue helpless, hopeless sinners. And Jesus, He is the one who was willing to suffer. And even in His suffering, He, for the joy that was set before Him, looked ahead and saw the glories that would be His. And that He would not end up staying under the bondage of death, but would come forth as the victor and arise from the dead and ascend to heaven and be seated at the Father's right hand. Jesus agonized, yes, but even as He did, verse 2, "Oh my God, I cry by day, but You do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet You are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel." What a fascinating description of who our God is, that He is enthroned on the praises of His people. It stirs you up to want to praise the Lord for this redemption that God has given to us. And in the face of all of the difficulties of life, if we belong to Jesus, the Father is not going to desert us. The Father is not ever going to turn His back on us, because He turned His back on His Son in our place. And He is enthroned on the praises of His people. The Lord Jesus in verse 4, "In You our fathers trusted, they trusted in You, delivered them. To You they cried and were rescued. In You they trusted and were not put to shame." All through the history, since Adam and Eve rebelled against God, there has been only one source of hope. And it is that in the fullness of time, the Redeemer would come who would suffer, yes, but through His act of suffering, He would crush the serpent's head. The Lord Jesus, He was willing to suffer. "But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let Him deliver him. Let Him rescue him, for He delights in him." You can read these very words were spoken by the people at the foot of the cross, led by the cheering squad of the Pharisees. They said these very things to our Lord Jesus. But the Lord Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust at my mother's breast. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Jesus was forsaken, but if you belong to him, we will never be forsaken. We will never be left. Even though at times we may go, Lord, where are you? Why are you allowing this to happen? Why do I not see deliverance right now? But the Lord, he promises he will always be with us, that he will never leave us nor forsake us, so that we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. The Lord Jesus suffered in verse 12. Many bulls encompass me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me. Like a ravening and roaring lion, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. One of the things Jesus uttered on the cross is, I thirst. For dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircle me. They have pierced my hands and feet. Here's a description of the crucifixion. Jesus was willing to suffer. He was willing to suffer in our place so that we could go free, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be adopted into God's family. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. That literally happened. They said, oh, this tunic, it's too fine to rip and divide up. And the soldiers said, let's cast lots, so that this fine piece of garment here won't be destroyed. Jesus was willing to suffer so that we might be forgiven. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild ox. And when the Lord Jesus died, the last thing that he uttered, it is finished. Into your hands I commit my spirit. The Lord Jesus, when he uttered, it is finished, it was the cry that people would make in the marketplace when they would banter back and forth about a price. When the deal was finally sealed, they would utter that very word, it is finished. And the Lord Jesus died knowing that he had paid the price. And he committed himself to the Father. Well, we're going to stop there tonight. And Lord willing, we'll look at the rest of the psalm that focuses on the exaltation of Jesus. What is he doing from his throne as the living Savior? And I'll give you a hint. He is exerting his power to save and bless and keep us and our families and his congregation, and to spread his gospel to the ends of the earth. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. Indeed, our hope is in this Jesus. He was willing to die, but death could not hold him. Praise God. He is at the Father's right hand. Well, let's bow before the Lord. Father, how we thank you that you were willing to send your Son, and you were willing to come, O Son of God, and become one of us for the purpose of living a perfect, obedient life, perfectly obeying all of the Father's will, all of the holy commandments in your word, you perfectly kept in thought, word, and deed. And you went to the cross and you took our judgment upon yourself so that your sheep might be redeemed. Lord, how we praise you that you were willing to suffer for us. And Lord Jesus, we gladly give ourselves anew to you this night. Lord, we are not our own. We have been bought with a price. And it is our joy, it is our privilege to give ourselves anew to you this night and to serve you. We pray that you would take us and use us for your glory as you see fit, whether it's your good pleasure to take us through paths of ease. If you do, Lord, then give us grace to keep us from growing fat and sassy and forgetting you. Lord, if it is your good pleasure to take us through times of great sorrow and heartache and persecution, Lord, we give ourselves to you. You are worthy, O Lamb of God, and we beg that you would give us grace to continue to have our eyes fixed on you, Lord Jesus, lest we grow weary and faint. And so, Lord, you're our glorious Savior. And we thank you for the encouragement that you have already given us in this psalm. And Lord, we look forward with great anticipation to the second half of this psalm that focuses on your exaltation, on what you are doing in history from your throne in heaven to save us and keep us and use us and bless our families and your big family for your praise. And so we love and adore you. Bless now as we sing this psalm together. In Jesus we pray. Amen.